All right, welcome back. Episode 12, I think?
Yeah, episode 12. Right.
Did you happen to see the Menendez Brothers document? Like, not the show, the show.
No.
You didn't watch it?
No, I didn't, and I've been hearing about it.
Have you ever heard about them before?
No.
Oh, okay. So I had heard about, like, what happened with them, like, the actual real case.
Okay.
So I was like, when the show, like, was on Netflix, I was like, do I really want to watch this? I know what happened, but then, you know, one night I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Wicked good, dude.
Yeah.
Wicked good. So essentially, I'm not giving anything away because it's a true story, but to sum it up, really, these two really rich kids, these two brothers, killed their mom and dad with shotguns.
I've heard this story.
And inherited their money, and it took them a little while to realize it was the brothers that did it. At first, they thought it was like maybe a mob hit. Maybe the dad had like dirty, shady business deals or something. And then come to find out later on in the court case, their brother's reasoning behind it is because both of them were like brutally molested by the dad. One like in his younger years, and then the younger brother, like all the way up until like he was a teenager, like in his like late teens. And so when the older brother found out that not only he was still doing it to the younger brother, they snapped and they brutally killed both their parents with shotguns. And I guess the mom was like knew about it, and the mom was doing some weird shit too. And essentially, like the first court case they had, they did a really good job. The defense attorney did a really good job, like basically saying you can't give them life or the death penalty. Like, all right, but they can go to jail, but for like manslaughter or something like that, or maybe even get the case dropped because it's like the circumstances behind it
are brutal.
And it ended up being a mistrial. And then when they retried the case again, I guess they couldn't use that as a defense for whatever reason. Like, it got, like, using that angle got thrown out for some reason. I think the older brother was like talking to someone who was pretending to be, like, interested in him, but she was really a reporter, and then released all these, like, recordings of him from the jail phone. And whatever he said in those recordings made that evidence or whatever, like, unusable in court. And so they ended up getting life. Not the death penalty, just, like, natural life in prison. And there's been a lot, since that came out, there's been a lot of discussion of, like, they should be able to, like, appeal and get out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like anybody who does that to a child, whether it's a family member, babysitter, teacher, stranger, whoever it is, if that child at any point like grows up and kills them, they don't see a day in jail.
Yeah.
I think that should be, it's kind of a deterrent.
Yes.
Like, oh, this kid might grow up one day and kill me. And it's allowed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the one. Have you ever heard of the guy where there's like footage of him online where like it happened to his daughter by like some dude and he was on the payphone?
Yes.
And then when he walked by, he shot the guy in the head and killed him and he didn't do any time in jail.
Isn't Louisiana talking about castration?
Well, the thing is if a guy killed another guy on behalf of his daughter, why are these two in jail? It's not even, they did it on behalf of themselves.
It's like the back of themselves.
And if you look at their time since they've been locked up, model inmates. One of them got a master's degree. They're starting like programs and like helping people that have been victims of sexual abuse and stuff like that. I know this is a comedy, you know, we try to do comedy, but we mix it up a little bit. I just am really passionate about that sort of stuff where it's like, you know, I feel like we don't do enough.
Yeah. You've said it before.
Yeah, I said it on a Patreon episode, I think, once. But, like, they've been in jail for 20 years already. Let them go.
Yeah.
But you should definitely watch it. It was a good one. I definitely will.
I took your suggestion the last time you had you told me to watch a documentary. You might remember, you might not, Three Identical Strangers. The triplets that were born into some German orphanage. And they placed each triplet, each twin.
You get me confused with somebody because I've never seen that, so I would have never recommended it. Yeah, you're mixing me up with somebody else.
They put the triplets within 5 miles of each other at different homes,
yeah,
and seeing how splitting up twins or triplets would mess up with their heads.
Yeah.
So they went to college and like, yo, you look like my buddy Tony. And they're like, no, I don't. And the cousin's like, holy crap, you look just like me. And then another one shows up and they're like, they did a blood test and they're triplets. They went back to the orphanage and they were like popping champagne, like, oh my God, this is successful. And then they went back to like sue him and the place was gone.
But like, what was the success? That they found
that
each other?
Separating triplets and twins can mess up their heads. Two of them end up killing themselves.
Oh, that's wild.
Oh, it's three identical strangers. Watch it.
No, I'll watch it. I'll check it out.
It's a crazy documentary.
I'll do documentaries. I like documentaries as like a comfort show, almost, where it's like I'm doing something else on my phone, or you know what I mean?
Background.
Yeah. I have a girl over and we're going to get, you know what I mean? So you got to put something on the TV.
I like sports documentaries. Those are my favorite, dude.
Yeah, I'm just more of a movie show person. I started watching The Penguin on HBO Max with Colin Farrell.
I heard he kills it.
Yeah, he's used all the prosthetics and the makeup, and it doesn't even look like him, and the voice and everything. He's going to win all sorts of awards from that. Yeah. All sorts of awards.
He used every prosthetic.
What do you mean?
He used a penguin penis.
Why does he need a penis prosthetic if they don't show his penis?
Some sicko who's making that show gave him a prosthetic penguin penis and he used it.
Where did you hear that?
It was one of the producers came out and did an interview.
What do you mean prosthetic penguin penis? Do you mean just like a weird looking penis?
And he put it and wear it in his pants for every single episode and show. Look it up.
If he's not taking it out,
we
can't see it, then what does it matter?
Because people in Hollywood are sick, which we've been over before. They're weirdos, dude.
Yeah, but I feel like Colin Farrell would shut that, like, so, hey, Colin, real quick, we got you prosthetic penis. Do I have a scene? I don't remember a sex scene where I show my capiche.
This is an actual penguin prosthetic. So they show him with, like, a fake flipper.
I don't want to look at penguin penises, please.
No, not a real penguin.
Penguin from the show.
Yeah.
Penguin penises, dude. I didn't think, you know what I mean? I didn't think that we would get to penguin penises.
But anyway, he's going to win a lot of awards, you said?
Oh, yeah, 100% for that show. Already, I can tell. Yeah. Already, I can tell.
Just kills,
so good.
Just kills the role.
Just, like, yeah, the prosthetics obviously help you. I feel like one thing you struggle with, like, famous actors like that are like, I've been watching Colin Farrell for fucking years. Like a Leo, like a Denzel, like all those guys. You got to be a phenomenal actor to, like, be in so many different movies where, like, I believe you as the character every time and I differentiate you from your actual real self. You know what I mean? When you see these guys that are in all these movies, it's like, okay. So I feel like the fact that you can't even tell it's Colin Farrell. If I never told you that's Colin Farrell, you would watch every episode, because he did it in the actual movie Batman 2. You'd watch it, you'd have no freaking clue it was him. The voice, nothing.
They showed like a 3 or 4 hour process of them putting the prosthetics on, and it doesn't look anything like him at the end.
Right.
At all.
Right.
And when you said that, when you say you see these actors in so many things, like when Johnny Depp portrayed Whitey, like that was like a holy shit, dude. Like,
yeah, he did a good job.
That's what clicked in my head when you said actors who you like. That's Captain Jack Sparrow, but he was Whitey. He was like, holy crap, dude!
Right?
Like you're making me believe you are the person.
Right. Well, and I'm not saying like, I'm just like a lot of actors do a great job of you know, taking on different roles and stuff like that. And I can watch the movie and I'm not thinking the whole time like, oh, Leo, or whatever. But I'm saying, like, what Colin Farrell's doing, where it's like, because of the prosthetics and you can't tell that it's him, you can really appreciate the acting more. It's like, this guy's nailing this right now.
I get it.
Yeah, all sorts of awards. I'm calling it right now.
At that moment, or was it more of a gag between you?
It's a fair question. I just love that we're talking dick on. It was, no, it wasn't, I'm sweating. It wasn't it wasn't important for me. It was important for Mike Marino, God bless him, but he just didn't want to take any chances. And we were told that it was going to be shot, that Oz's full body was going to be shot at an angle from the back. And then anything that was front on was going to be from the waist up. We were told by production, by Craig, our director, that we weren't interested in the appendage. But Mike Marino, being the consummate artist and professional that he is, he didn't want to leave anything to chance. So he gifted me with a donut box with a prosthetic piece.
He can't say penis. Why can't he say penis?
But it wasn't important at all. But God bless Mike for leaving no stone unturned.
So let me get this straight. You got the guy that's creating all the prosthetics, and he's like, all right, we got a shot where he's belly up. They made it crystal clear that they're not interested in showing any private parts. I'm going to make the penis anyways, and I'm going to give it to Colin in a donut box. We got to check that guy's search history. We got to check that guy's search history. Jesus.
I told you.
We got to check his search history. Now, what do they do with that? Like, Colin gets to keep it?
As a prop,
when he has guests over and he's doing a house tour and he goes to, like, his trophy room, he's like, oh, and this is, check this out, guys. We got the penguin penis. He started sweating buckets and, like, got all nervous. And he couldn't even say penis. Why can't you say penis?
I don't know. But I knew I saw that, and I was real scared when Josh was fact-checking. I said, oh, I'm going to look like an idiot. But I knew I heard him. I knew I saw him.
Crazy.
Right? You'd never know.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, man.
Prosthetic penis.
Prosthetic penis. Don't need one of those.
I mean, why would I need one of those?
That's what I'm saying. We don't.
Yeah. Definitely don't need one of those.
But how's your walks been, dude?
Good. The walks have been good. I went on one today. I did about, like, 4 miles or so. It's funny when, like, because I've been, like, experimenting with different times on when to post them, and people will be like, if it's, like, late and I haven't posted a walking video yet, I'll get messages where it's like, are you all right? Is everything? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm good. So I'm almost, like, nervous to skip a walk, dude. You know what I mean? I've kind of, the videos are holding me accountable. But I feel like that's another thing, too. I've always been, like, the type of person where it's like, if I don't do it the right way, I'm just not doing it at all. If I can't do this perfectly, I'm not doing it at all. You know what I mean? But, like, knowing that going into it, it's like, you know, if I miss a day for whatever reason, say I'm off or whatever, I can't let it slow down the momentum. I just got to make sure the next day, like, I walk. And if I miss a day, it's like, oh, big fucking deal. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's going to be cool when you go to, like, because you said you're going to Louisiana pretty soon.
Baton Rouge in November for Alabama versus LSU.
It's going to be an amazing tailgate to start off.
And I've never been to a college football game.
Nothing like the pros.
Like, I've never even been to, like, Bridgewater State University college football. Like, never a college football game.
See, I went to a UMass game versus UNH, and I thought that was nuts. My buddy went to Bama. He goes, dude, the down south, it's like you starting at 9 a.m. and you're not done till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I guess because it's for a bachelor party, and I guess they rented like a one of those, like, premium tailgating sections where you get, like, food catered and shit like that. It's going to be dope.
And you probably will get ESPN will probably be there, like, they do college game day at different places. If there's college game day there.
That's why I'm hoping, like, LSU and Alabama continue to do well. And they don't, because imagine if, like, by then LSU has, like, 3 losses or 4 losses and it kind of takes away from the excitement, even though it'll still be
huge.
Wild because Alabama has that. You want to beat Alabama, no matter how you're doing. You want to beat Alabama. Those are and they got that 17-year-old kid.
Balling.
That's unbelievable, dude. Yeah. It's crazy how we've gotten to the age where we're older than most professional athletes. That makes me feel old, dude.
The kid was born in 07.
Yeah, I was already doing cocaine, dude. That's crazy. I was already having, like, threesomes, dude.
I said to my buddies in a group chat, I said, that dude's going to have girls catching statutories down there after that catch, dude. He's 17, going to college.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's a 17-year-old guy can bang older women. I think that's statutory.
Mind you, what's the consent law in Bama, in Alabama?
Right, yeah, you just, I mean, I mean, I'm pretty sure you can fuck cats in Alabama. You know what I mean? Like, you can do whatever you want.
No offense.
Yeah, yeah, no offense. I probably got a couple followers in Alabama.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the merch, I sold merch in every single state.
Which is cool.
So Jeff, somebody bought something in Alabama.
Really cool.
Yeah.
But like, when I went to the Louisiana thing is, when you do your walk down there, it's going to be cool to see like a...
Oh, that's one of my, aside from my child.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about life in general is traveling. I love going to places I've never been before. So I'm really excited for that element of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? You get to interact with the people a little bit. See, it's so crazy. The United States is fucking crazy. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day that's from the U.S., but they're living in France. And she was trying to compare French girls to American girls. And I was like, you can't.
No.
Because American girls in Boston, from Boston, are so much different than American girls from Idaho or You're from right. Florida or from Texas or from L.A. Like,
it's just all different.
So crazy how massive this country is and how different. It's like we're basically every state, it's its own country.
Someone who doesn't know English, if they heard a girl talk from, like, the Bronx and then a girl talk from, like, Alabama... And then a girl talk from like the Midwest to be like, these are three different languages.
Yeah, it's almost like hearing somebody speak English is from like Scotland.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's like, this sounds like a different language.
Right.
Yeah. It's just so, the culture, even just in America, the cultures all around are just so different.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm excited to go. How close is Baton Rouge to New Orleans?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but it's
I'm Googling it. I'm Googling
a couple
it.
Hours, right? Baton Rouge to New Orleans?
Baton Rouge to New Orleans. It's an hour away.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, definitely going to hit fucking Mardi Gras, whatever it's called.
That's March 1st, but close enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's always crazy down there,
it's like
right?
Key West.
What's it called? That area of New Orleans.
It's like the...
There's a name for it.
It's like Duval in Key West.
This is going to be us trying to think of what we were talking about and us trying to think of names of shit.
What's the main street in New Orleans that they do Mardi Gras on?
The Grand... Come on, we got this, dude. We're intelligent. What do we do before Google? You had to figure it out. What do we do before Google?
That's something French.
You called somebody. Oh, French Quarter.
No, no.
Hey. Yeah,
nice,
see?
Nice.
You don't need fucking Google, dude.
It's called Bourbon Street.
Oh, is it Bourbon Street?
Cut.
Then what's the French Quarter, dude?
Cut.
Google what's the French Quarter.
It's in New Orleans.
It's in the French Quarter.
So Bourbon Street's in the French Quarter. So I think we still...
Yeah, okay.
We don't need
we're
to...
Good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now we're making...
We're good.
What's the saying?
Making progress?
No,
making
ants out of molehills?
That's... Your sayings, I don't know where you come up with them, but sure.
You're making mountains out of molehills.
Making...
Mountains out of molehills.
Yes.
I don't know where the ants came from. There's another one with ants.
Mountains out of anthills? You're making mountains out of anthills.
It might. Yeah. Okay. Anthills and molehills. I actually have seen more anthills in my life than molehills.
Don't ants outnumber?
Have you ever seen a mole?
No.
They don't have moles in Massachusetts.
We could, but I just never seen them.
They're underground, right? They dig.
Yeah, they dig. They dig.
Okay.
Don't ants outnumber humans by the billions?
Yeah, so you'd see more hills, you're saying?
See more manhills for sure.
Manhills?
Anthills.
Anthills. Yeah. Yeah, so I imagine we're going to go to Bourbon Street. We got a couple Airbnbs. It's going to be awesome. Dope.
It's going to be sick,
excited
dude.
About
it's
going
to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Your walks are
going to be
cool.
Plus, it's like there. I get to be like, obviously, like it's my I have one sister. She's getting married. So it's like my only time to go on a bachelor party and be like the brother of the bride. You know what I mean? With all the friends of my sister's fiance. So that'll be cool.
Did that two times this year.
Oh, yeah, that's neat.
Two of them from my sister's wedding and my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
But you like your soon-to-be brother-in-law?
Oh, he's the man, dude. He's the man. I know he listens. Him and my sister listen to these episodes, so I don't want to freaking gas him up, all right, Kevin? You got a long way to go. But so far, he's off to a great start. Like, right away. I remember, because my sister's not ever been, like, a boyfriend type of girl. Like, she's always been so driven and focused. Yeah. Like, I didn't meet a boyfriend until she got to college, like after she was in college for a while. The first one was such a dink. Such a dink. And then, then she was with that kid, the first one, for a couple of years or whatever, and then they broke up. And then you know, I haven't met anybody else since Kevin. And, you know, and my dad's old school Cape Verdean, like, you know, he's like somebody that you'd be nervous to introduce your significant other to. But not, but he's, you know him. He's the nicest guy in the world. He's such a softie, such a sweetheart.
I ran into him outside leaving here. Right. And I was nervous. Hey, Mr. Verrill, how's it going?
Yeah, he told me that. He told me that. But just like, you know, if you don't know him, he can be kind of like
intimidating, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
So first time meeting him, it was like we're all going out to eat. Me, my dad, my sister, and Kevin, the fiance. And, you know, my sister kind of wanted me there to sort of break the ice a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I could go either way. I could fucking break the ice, or I could fucking get that ice real slippery. I don't know. It depends what kind of mood I'm in. And she's like, stop, dude. Come on. And I was nervous. You know what I mean? Because I was like, you know what I mean? I hope he likes me, dude. Because my sister's mind's made up, dude. Yeah. It's not like she's got more of a head on her shoulders than anybody else in the family. So it's not like if we don't like the guy and we say, no, he's out, she's going to be like, fuck off. You know what I mean? So I think I was more nervous of like, oh, I hope he thinks I'm cool, dude. You know what I mean? Because I want a brother, dude, you know? I've always wanted a brother. I got stuck with fucking Lauren, even though she's great. But I, you know, you want a brother. Of course. Dude. It's nothing like a brother.
Of course.
So, yeah, we went out to eat, and it was like right away. I could, you know what I mean? You size him up. It's like, all right, what kind of watch is he wearing? All right, he's got a couple bucks in the bank. You know what I mean? Clean cut, well-spoken, polite.
Napping,
you know what
on
I mean?
The lap,
not manners. Shy at all. You know what I mean? Was outgoing. I was like, all right, she did good.
Nice.
She did good.
That's
and
awesome.
Then since then, he's really grown on me. You know, I don't want to freaking gas him up the whole fucking episode. Yeah. But, like, wicked, wicked good guy. Very excited to welcome him into the family. My sister seems very happy. And, you know, if you got to put up with that every day, you got to be... You gotta be a great guy, dude. You know, so I'm excited for them, but I'm fired up for the bachelor party, dude. Yeah,
my sister and her husband just celebrated their first anniversary on the 29th of September.
Nice.
For their first anniversary, he got her tickets to see her favorite band,
which is,
I don't know,
what?
It's not a big name band.
Call her, dude.
No, I actually
text her.
Oh, let me see this one.
How do you not know what the band is, dude?
Because it's one of those other type of bands.
I don't even know if my sister listens to music or not, so I'm just kind of giving you shit.
Ready?
You know what I mean?
Is this ready? Here it is. I can read it right now. Lake Street Dive.
Lake Street Dive?
Lake Street Dive.
That's her favorite band.
That's her favorite band. Lake Street Dive.
I'm going to just type it into Spotify so it's in my search history and I can look it up later.
Yeah.
Lake Street Dive. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me just do a quick little... Oh. Ooh.
One of the band members got like dreads.
Can we get to the words? Ooh. Yeah. Add that to the fucking queue, dude. Yeah, that's like driving alone music.
I know.
You know what I mean? Or like bonfire on the beach music.
Oh,
you know
what
I mean?
It's very relaxing.
There's so many scenarios for that type of music, dude. Yeah,
so
yeah,
good.
Okay.
So
he bought her tickets.
He got her tickets to that and put it in a vinyl and got the actual vinyl of the album.
He's a thoughtful
and then
fuck, huh?
She looks at it and goes, oh my gosh, the venue's in Dublin, Ireland. They're going to Ireland to see them live.
Oh, she did good,
oh,
huh?
She did really good.
She did good.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
for her.
I was like,
I saw a picture of him. First thing I said to myself, fucking nice kid.
Yeah, really.
He's a
nice
guy.
UConn grad.
Yeah, nice
guy.
I don't know what the fuck UConn grad means because I'm pretty sure I got a full beer thrown at my head one time when I went there. I almost got jumped by like a stampede of kids. But yeah, no, I took one look at him in a picture, I think, because I follow your sister on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was like, nice guy.
Yeah, he's
nice
a great guy. He's a great guy. So nice when my
what a gift. Like the
first anniversary.
Not only like, all right, I'm going to, what's her band? You know what I mean? The presentation, we're going to Ireland. Oh.
All in, yeah. It was, I was like, nice work, Joe. I was like, good work, dude. It was
good
like,
for him.
Yeah, so she's so
good
excited. And she like texts it to me and Hannah. Oh my God, I'm going to Ireland. Like, yeah, we knew. Congratulations. That's awesome. Have fun.
Oh, that's great.
And she was like, everyone knew? I said, yeah, pretty much everyone knew. My mother goes, we've ruined a lot of surprises for this gentleman and your sister. Please do not ruin this.
Right, right, right.
And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was real. She was so happy, and I was just happy to see her happy, you know?
Yeah, it just got me thinking, like, me talking about my sister and you talking about your sister and knowing that you're married. It's like everybody I know is married besides me, dude. I'm so late to the party.
You'll find someone.
Yeah, but at the same time, I also know a ton of people that have already been married and divorced.
Yep.
And I'm like, I never got married in the first place. I'd rather be that. Yeah. I'd rather.
Yes.
You're just as alone as I am. And you had to, you know what I mean? You got that chalk mark on your record, and I don't.
But the great part is, too, is you also have a child. So you have something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've talked about this. Yes. It takes the pressure way off, dude. If I hadn't created life yet, I'd feel like a lot more sad about
it. Boy,
and he's the best.
Yeah,
dude.
You have your boy, dude.
Yeah,
you have your boy.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I don't wanna like touch on it too much because it's, you know, I don't talk about me all I want.
Yeah, of course.
I can talk about public life all I want. But I will just say this is like, you know, my son's mom. And her boyfriend have been together for a number of years. Well, fiance, they're engaged now. He bought the ring at my father's jewelry store. We all get along so well. And they have a 3.5-year-old son together who it's like weird when I look at him, you know, he shares my son's DNA, not mine, but my son's. And so it's like I'm looking at him and it's like I have this connection with him.
That's cool.
But he's not mine. You know what I mean? And we all get along so well. And I've always said, like, hey, anytime you want me to watch him, you let me know. And, you know, it's not like that they feel weird about it or anything. No. It's just like, you know, if on an off night where it's not my night with my son, if they have something to do and they ask me, like, oh, can you grab him tonight? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah, if I have nothing going on, no problem. I'd love to. And, you know, his brother will go with, like, the grandparents or whatever. And so, like, a couple of days ago, she had asked me, she was like, would you want to watch the boys for us? And I said to her, I was like, I've been waiting for this moment for 3 years. So they came to the house yesterday. And I think it's important to show his little brother, like, all right, this is where he's going the other half of the week. This is his room. This is where he's hanging out. And it was, like, a really, like, special moment for me, and I think for the boys too, to kind of normalize everything. And it was just, and it was cool to like be able to watch my son be a big brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like I go to their house and I like might shoot the shit for a couple of minutes or help him with his homework over there as I'm dropping him off, whatever, whatever, and mess with his little brother and joke around a little bit, but I'm not spending tons of time there. So it's cool to spend like, you know, an extended period of time with them and watch my son interact with his little brother and be a big brother.
That's cool.
It was really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was great. So we, you know, and he's such like a sweet kid. His little brother is such a sweet kid. Like I'd say to him something like I'd be like, do you want to build a fort? And he'd go, he's three. And he'd go, that's a great idea, Anthony. So we built a fort. We had all, you know, the blankets, built a fort. And then, you know, we did some other stuff. And then we watched that new kids movie. It's like The Purple Crayon with the guy from, that's the...
Ryan Reynolds?
No, it's kind of like a version of Ryan Reynolds, though. He's the guy Shazam. No, it's not John Krasinski. I don't think it was Krasinski. No, it's Krasinski's like twin brother.
Is it called It?
No, it's called The Purple Crayon Movie. It's the guy that plays Shazam. You know, the superhero?
Oh, what the...
I have
the
no idea
comb over.
What
I know
his
exactly.
name is.
No.
Who plays Shazam?
There's us not knowing the name of things.
Zachary Levy or Levi. Zachary Levy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the crayon where wherever they color
whatever
comes to life?
Draw comes to life?
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
The three of us watched that and ate goldfish, and I was in
that's
heaven,
awesome.
Dude. And it was such a great
that's
day.
That's awesome, dude.
Such a great day. And yeah, I think it brought us all close together and normalizes everything. Because in my view on the whole thing where it's like everyone can get along swimmingly.
Yeah.
It could be like the greatest dynamic of all time and we can all work together really well. But still, at the end of the day, you know, kids have a tendency to compare themselves with other families, and you know, it's a little different, you know. So anything we can do to normalize it, I think, helps children, and that's really important. And you know, like touching on that so much because it's like he's not just my kid, right? He's my kid with somebody else. So just because I'm comfortable with talking about my kid in the podcast setting, it doesn't mean she is.
Yep.
So it's not really my call to just be open and fucking talk about. But I think just like the overview of the family dynamic and how positive it is, I think it's okay to talk about without going into like details and stuff like that.
I share my kids with my wife too. She might not want me talking about them either, and that's fine.
Right.
You know?
Right. So. I think it's a little different though.
It is definitely when
you're not
different.
Sharing a roof and you're not in a relationship, you really need to make sure that the level of respect is even higher.
Of course.
Because you can get away with, you know, getting into an argument with your wife or like, you know what I mean, talking shit to her a little bit, or she talks shit to you, or you guys fucking scratch and claw at each other a little bit and have your moments. Because you're not going any, you're under the same roof. You've done vows. When you're not together with the girl and like she's living her life and I'm living my life, really got to make sure that the respect is at
a high level,
1,000% at all times.
You're doing it well. You're doing it really
well. Yeah, and it's not like I, you know, have always been like that. I don't want to give off the image to listeners that I've always been this like rock for her and this great support system. Like I struggled early on. But I'm glad that I was able to get to the point that I'm at when I did. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, things are really good in that department. And, it's cool.
It's awesome. Yeah. Other than that, what else have you been up to this week? Other than the walks, other than all that, anything else fun you did?
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, especially, like, when you're... And you'll see this as we do more episodes together. And maybe you're different. Maybe you won't feel like this. But, like, when I do so much content online, you know, a mixture of just goofy, funny shit and sharing personal stuff about my life at the same time and, like, giving people a little window on my life, sometimes it's like you want to give off a certain image. You want to create, it's not a real version of you that you're showing, even though I try to be as authentic as possible. You know, there's no need to reveal all your deepest, darkest secrets to the fucking internet and share exactly your faults and, you know what I mean, your shortcomings and all that stuff. You know, you don't need it all out there.
No.
You know what I mean? But it's tough not to like really curate like this awesome, like almost made up fantasy version of yourself, how you want people to view you. So like when we have conversations like this, it's kind of hard to admit certain things. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I did it in one of my walk-in videos the other day where I admitted how lazy I am.
Yeah.
And I said in the walk-in video, I was like, I feel like laziness is the last thing people want to admit or like own up to. They'll attribute their laziness to 700 other things before the words I'm lazy comes out of their mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's something a lot of people struggle with and nobody fucking talks about it. Because for some odd reason, it's like I can talk about so many different shortcomings and areas of my life where I fucked up. But when it comes to like admitting to the general public that I have lazy tendencies, it's like, especially as a single guy, that's kind of like a really unattractive thing to hear from a female perspective. But yeah, I was talking about it the other day, and it's something that I've really been trying to work on. But other than that, the reason why I went off on that tangent is because you asked me what I've been doing lately, and it brings me to another thing of something that I am hesitant to admit online, but it's like I am so fucking addicted to my phone. It's sickening, bro. And I know you would think like, oh, well, you do social media, so you should be on your phone. And it's like I'm not even doing shit that is pertaining to my, you know, quote unquote job online. You know what I mean? I am going from Facebook to Instagram to Snapchat to 3 different email addresses I have to TikTok to, and then like back to another one, then to another one, like, you know, and then like porn. I've been like super addicted to porn. That's another thing people don't want to admit. No, you know what I mean? But I'm sure the way that I'm addicted to it, I'm sure I'm not the only one out there, dude. So it's like and that's all on the phone too. So if I'm not watching porn or I'm not on Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook or fucking checking my email, and I'll just cycle through that. And all of a sudden, I'll look at my phone and it's like, did I even breathe for the last 3 hours, dude? You know what I mean? And yeah, it's like an addiction. It's like any drug that I've ever tried. It's the same sort of thing where, like, you know, it gets harder and harder to break the habit the deeper you are into it. And, you know, I realized, like, if I put the amount of hours I just fuck off on my phone, it's the videos too, because it's like the reels and the TikToks, they're so captivating because, like, the algorithm just at this point has honed in on everything I'm interested in. It's just titties and sports and funny clips and dark sense of humor shit. And I just get sucked in to the point where I can't even watch a show. Like, I'll pause, like, a show that I'm excited to watch to, like, get zoned in on my phone again. And it's like, I need to figure something out. And in my experience with that sort of stuff, if you treat it like it's a drug, say, for instance, you need to go to treatment.
Yeah.
So it's like I've been looking at booking a trip somewhere for myself, go alone, 3, 4, 5 days, something like that, and just bring, like, the shittiest trap phone, Boost Mobile phone from Walmart. Give the number to my son's mom and, like, my dad and mom or something, right? And if there's any other, you know, people really need to get in touch with me for emergency purposes, they can contact them. Leave my actual cell phone at home, and, you know, just have that phone on me for emergency purposes. If they need to contact me or to, you know, tell my son goodnight when he's going to bed, or to, like, call 911 if, depending on where I'm going, if I get put in a fucking weird situation or something, and just maybe bring a couple books. I've never been a book reader.
Me neither.
You know, and just go sit up somewhere, you know, get some, you know, like, deep tissue massages and shit like that. You know what I mean? Go somewhere chill, relaxing, not like a party atmosphere or anything like that, with no phone for 4 days.
That'll be really, really relaxing. I think that'll be really refreshing for you. It'll be really refreshing.
And then carry that back where it's like, when I get back, like, okay, let's really try to pay attention to how I'm going to go about combating this issue with the phone addiction. Am I leaving it in another room? Am I hanging on to that trap phone and, like, that's my walk around phone, and I only go to my smartphone ever so often to check notifications, to do my fucking reels and my videos and stuff like that, but have, like, a carved out allotment of time that I allow myself to look at it? And it's, I know that that's fucking going to be really difficult, but it's like, I was thinking about it, you know what I mean? It's like, if I took all the hours that I put into my phone for not work-related stuff, just bullshit stuff, and put it towards, like, jujitsu, I'd be in the fucking UFC. You know what I mean? If I put it to like, getting my pilot's license, I'd already have a license to fly 14 different types of planes. All the hours I put in on just wasting my life away, dick around on my phone. They call it doom scrolling. There's, like, a psychological term for it now. And applied it to, like, cooking, I'd be on the Top Chef show. Gordon Ramsay would be DMing me for collaborations, dude.
It's true.
So it's definitely high on my priority list. I've been, you know, not to get all glum and gloom, but, like, we've talked a lot about it in the pod, like, my mental health struggles and how I'm, like, I really feel like I'm turning a corner. And I'm really excited about using it as an opportunity. How shitty I felt for fucking months and how much that sucked to now be able to see the light out of the tunnel. I'm really excited to use that painful experience as an opportunity to really dig in and make some serious changes that I think could, like, alter the course of the rest of my life and, you know, present amazing opportunities. And even if they don't, like, at least, like, give me more of a fulfilling life that when I'm on my deathbed, I don't look back and regret a lot about this next chapter of my life, if that
most
makes
definitely.
Any sense.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
It's one of those where, like, I talked about, 4 or 5 episodes ago, it's just always looking forward to something is great. And that's what you're looking forward to. And it makes you feel good about it. It's like, I'm looking forward. This is going to be awesome. When this time comes, this is going to be awesome.
You know what I was thinking? Because when we lived together, you were a sloppy fuck. Are you still?
No, because, like, now now on days like that, we don't really see each other as much because she's working on days that I'm not working.
Right.
And all this whole stuff with the kids in school and the whole nine, that on my days off, I'm like, I'm cleaning the hell out of this house.
Right. And I feel like, tell me if you agree with this, when you have kids, it's almost like they do a good job of holding you accountable, keeping you in check, like without even purposely doing it.
Yes.
Because it's like, you recognize like, hey, if I'm a fucking slob and my, you know, I have dishes in the sink and fucking shit all over the living room floor and stuff not put away, then my kids are going to pick up on those tendencies and they're going to be slobs.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
exactly.
They do like my, it's funny. Like when on days that I have my son, I do like a deep clean in the house and make sure it's like, you know what I mean?
Tidy.
Not as bachelor patty, you know,
I want to show them me cleaning the fridge out, vacuuming the floor, mopping the kitchen floor, emptying the dishwasher, loading the dishwasher. See, like do these things.
Right.
And Hannah does the same thing when she's at home with them too.
Right.
She makes sure she's doing those things all the time. So these kids are like, they, instead of just taking a toy and throwing it out, they're like, ooh, they're starting to realize like even at 5 and 3, like, okay, they just cleaned this and I'm going to bring this toy back to my room type thing, which is good. And it's, they're picking up well. So it's been good. The home ownership's crazy. But like you said, we bought the house together.
Yeah.
Like my credit helped us get in there. My career helps us pay the mortgage. Her job now helps us pay the mortgage. Like it's the way it is, but we are a team. We have one bank account. We are a team. This isn't my money.
You're getting
money.
Really fucking fired up about this.
Yeah, but
topic.
It's true.
Like
it's
I
true.
Fucking was just kind of messing with you.
But
now
that's what a marriage is. It's a marriage is a team. You are a team together. We're doing this life together.
Yes.
And I said, you think of it, this house 30 years from now, it's going to be our retirement. We have a house on Cape Cod. 3-bed, whatever bath, whole nine, on Cape.
Right.
When this is paid off, this is our retirement.
Right.
Hopefully worth close to $1 million.
Yeah.
I have a 401k saved, and we're good, honey.
Like unless we get into a nuclear war, which is like kind of, the chances are kind of high with like China and Russia and Iran and stuff like that. So
mind you, we're the farthest thing out.
Hopefully not, though.
Mind you, Cape Cod's the farthest thing out.
From what? From Massachusetts?
From across the Atlantic. We're the closest thing to across the Atlantic. It's Cape Cod. If you look down the United States, I think that goes out the farthest is Massachusetts.
So what are you saying? We're not going to get hit with the nuke?
We're the first one to get hit.
No, but I mean, not really. You know how
it's
close Alaska is to Russia or like California is to Russia?
But they would hit major cities. They'd hit places like New York, L.A., Miami.
Well, I mean, with the way technology is going, it's like all it might take like just a couple and the whole world's destroyed. But we don't need to get into nuclear warfare. I was thinking about when you were talking about being married and me being single. I feel like because I've been single for so long that even though now, like, I feel like I'm in set with a lot of different things where it's like I'm dating with a purpose now. I feel like I've been single for so long and I'm so stuck in my ways and my routine and, like, my way of doing things. That bringing somebody else into the mix is such like a, it's so foreign.
It's a gamble.
It's not even a gamble, but it's so like, it's like a drastic change because I'm so entrenched in my own habits and how I live my life and my freedom. And I'm so used to it and so accustomed to it that the idea of love and being in a relationship sounds really cool. But logistically, I'm like, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, we have to do what you want
to
do, too.
We're going to your mother's for dinner? Come
on. I don't want to. I just want to watch fucking movies, dude. Like, what do you mean? You know what I mean? Like, I know I had a grilled cheese 3 nights in a row. I like them. You know what I mean?
They're
like,
delicious. Yeah. Yes, I understand fully. And that's the...
I know the restaurant's 0.5 miles away, and I'm still going to DoorDash it. Leave me alone, dude. I did great this year. You know what I mean?
I went on a long walk today, okay?
I did. The walk to Borderlands State Park in Easton's great, dude. Great.
My cousins live in Easton. They love it. They love it.
Yeah, my dad's building a fucking house in Easton. And I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know much about building a house. You know what I mean? I've never been a homeowner. I'm thinking about, you know, maybe next year. You know what I mean? My lease is coming up again, and it's like, do I sign a 6-month or do I sign a 1 year? The 6-month's so much more expensive, blah, 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 whatever. But so I don't know much about building a house, but I know my father is, he is his own person. You know what I mean? He's very much himself when it comes to, you know, areas of his life. Since he's contracted these guys to build the house, he has been there every fucking day, moving shit around, checking on shit, cleaning after them. And I was like, Dad, I was under the impression where it's like, if you pay freaking $1.5 million for a house, you just like you're involved in the beginning with like how you want stuff to look. And like every now and then the contractor might like meet you at the house to like show you something. And then you decide on certain things and then that's it. And they like they're responsible for building the house. And like if, you know, you got different contractors coming in doing different types of jobs where it's like they don't need like
you over there
to
shoulder.
Go in and like sweep. Like, what are you doing? Am I right?
The success that your dad's jewelry store has had shows that your dad has a lot of pride in what he does and what his business looked like.
Right.
I think it's the same way the way his house is getting built. He's have pride the way this thing's built. He wants it to look nice all the time. And
yeah, like, but I mean, pride in, so you pay X amount for a house.
I know.
Then
I know,
it's built
I know.
And it's like, if you're paying, you know, that much money for a house, it's done. You are involved in like decision making and stuff like that. But you weren't there every fucking day sweeping and like moving wood from one pile to another pile because you got this guy coming in and he needs to do this. It's like you pay to get it built. And then when it's done, you take pride in the house.
He wants it done right. He wants it done right. If he's moving the wood because someone else is coming in, he wants it done right. He doesn't want any excuses of, well, they did a half-assed job because the wood was in the way. He wants to make sure it's done right and make sure he takes pride in it.
But it's like if I pay fucking X amount for you to do this specific job and building the house and you don't and you fuck it up and you don't do it right, then
why even see me and you?
Why even risk it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing is, me and you are not your father. I wouldn't be down there every day. I'd be like, all right, just tell me when it's done. Is what I'd say. I'd say, all right, hit me up when it's done.
Yeah, you go every now and then and check on the progress. House takes months.
Yeah.
Like you're building a house from scratch. It takes months and months and months and months, like the planning phase and all that. And he's there. Every time I talk to him, he does like a deep sigh, like he's all stressed out. Oh, I got to go down to the house. It started me ragging on him for it. It started where he called anything like, now that I'm grown and responsible and, like, you know, not a piece of shit anymore, anything he asks of me, if I do it, you know what I mean? Unless, like, for whatever reason, I really can't because I have this, like, really important obligation. But if I don't or if I have something I can, like, shift around and help him out with something, every time I'll do it because he's been there for me at some terrible times in my life. And so, you know, he calls me, what do you got going on? Can I borrow you for a little bit? And I go, yeah, what do you need? He goes, you meet me at the house, the new house, to move a couple pieces of wood. And I'm like, all right, I'll be there. So I'm thinking like, all right. If you tell me to be there at 6:30, I'm there at 6:29.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If I tell you, like, we only have a couple pieces to move, we only have a couple pieces to move, okay? I get there. And it's probably like 4 hours worth of moving wood from literally one pile to another section of the house because he has guys coming in to do an X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, why are you doing, you're paying X amount for this house and you're doing manual labor like this? What are we doing? And then since then, every time I talk to him, oh yeah, I'm just gonna stop at the house real quick. And I'm like, those guys must be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Could you imagine like, you hire a landscaper, right? And you work for a landscaping company and you're going to do a house and you're doing a big landscaping job and the person just fucking pulls up a lawn chair in the walkway and is just watching you the whole time do the work. Ugh.
That's why, honestly, at my job, what I do for work with cars and stuff, I let people go out and test drives by themselves.
Why don't you plug what dealership you work at and like if you ever want to buy a car, why don't you do that?
I'll do that, of course. If you ever want to buy it new, pre-owned, anything, come see me. My name's Packy from Copeland Subaru Hyannis.
Yeah.
It's good credit, bad credit, no problem. We'll get you approved.
Now, how's your used car inventory? What if I'm not a lesbian and I don't want to buy a Subaru?
Saw that coming. We have a lot of great used cars. We have a Mercedes used right now.
Nice.
Taking an Acura used.
Any trucks?
No trucks.
You guys don't do trucks?
We do, but when we do, we have a Chevy sister store.
Okay.
That they do a lot better over there.
Right.
So we send our trucks there, and they send like the SUVs our way, like the smaller size SUVs.
Okay. And then like what else goes well with the Subaru? You guys must have like a lot of those like Kia Souls.
We actually, October is the Subaru Love Pets event. So everyone who buys a car, every new car purchase gets, that new car donates $500 to your local local pound or local, I shouldn't say pound.
Animal shelter.
Local animal shelter. So like every year, every October, we do like $30,000 to them. And every customer with a pet gets a dog toy. It's called a Chubaru Outbark. So
oh,
it's
like
a squeaky toy. Sure. Yeah.
No, I mean, so I will say, I know I like to crack jokes, but I also, not the same dealership, but I did for a brief stint work at a Subaru dealership. And so I learned a lot about Subarus. Yeah. Very reliable vehicles.
Very.
You can go way past 100,000 miles on those things and without dumping a shitload of money into it.
You're absolutely right.
Really easy to fix, inexpensive to fix. Yes. Very, very well made and reliable cars. And it's like, you know, they do have, like,
a great reputation.
Great reputation. And then what's the one that's like the nice sedan?
Legacy.
The Legacy's really nice. And then for your thrill seekers, you guys still have the WRX.
Sure do. And BRZ.
Sick. And they still come in standard and automatic.
Yep.
One of the few car companies that is still producing standard cars. So if you know, living in the past and you like a stick shift. So there are some good selling points to buying a Subaru.
Also, this is my main pitch. I like to say,
if you go there with a dyke haircut, do you get a discount?
Let me just say, we're the closest dealership to P-Town, so it does pay off, and everyone's accepted at Subaru.
It has to be, and like, you know, if you're listening, you know what I mean? I say dyke as a joke. Like,
yes, it's of just course. Like, it's gross. Not offensive.
But like,
I'm not trying to be offensive.
Is it like a stone cold fact that it is the most popular car for lesbians?
Well, back, I think it was in the 90s or the 80s when the Forester first came out, they promoted it toward lesbians.
How?
Like, they had commercials, the Foresters, for everyone, and had a lesbian couple in the commercial.
Oh.
And that was the first time they ever had that on, like, TV.
Interesting.
So that's why it's big with the lesbian community. And it's you see a lot of homosexuals come in, but it's like, dude, anyone can buy a car.
Right. Old, no, I'm young, just, whatever. I'm saying.
Anyone.
You know, I'm saying,
is it a stereotype?
Do you say homosexuals? Is that politically correct?
I think that's politically correct.
Is it? All right. So I feel like homosexuals drive all LGBT. They drive all different types of cars.
Yes. Yes.
They're not all in Subarus.
Correct.
But there's a lot of people that buy Subarus that
are. There is a fact that the number one car for lesbians is Foresters, and the number one car for gays is Jeep Wranglers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Learned that on a trivia show, actually.
Interesting. And then, hikers, people that are like woodsy people, like campers and hikers and stuff like that, like the Outback and stuff like
that.
Think
of this. The top three places for Subarus are New England, Colorado, and California.
Snow.
Yes.
They're great in the snow. Another selling point.
This is what I say all the time. I say, I'll be honest with you, because I'm not one to crap on other people's brands. I'll tell you what's good about my brand.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. If you go with Toyota, Honda, Subaru, you're gonna do something right. Like the big three from Japan, you're going to do something
right. They know what they're doing.
Exactly. But there's flaws with each one.
Right.
So with Toyota, once you go over 25 miles an hour in an all-wheel drive Toyota, you're not an all-wheel drive anymore.
Right.
It's just front wheel. So in 50 miles an hour, it's pouring rain. The speed limit's 55. I better go 50. You're still in front wheel drive.
Right.
Honda is front wheel drive. And then when it slips, the all-wheel turns on.
Ooh.
So I always say Subaru is all-wheel all the time.
Ooh.
And then my next pitch from there is, you can get a RAV4 or a CRV in front-wheel drive. That means that car was built for front-wheel drive, and they just put an all-wheel drive pack on it. While Subarus are only in all-wheel drive, so every nut, every bolt, every screw on that car is meant for all-wheel all the time.
Wow.
Or the other two aren't. So that when you're doing your search, a lot of people don't know that. So I
say, all right. Yeah, so if you're listening, lesbians, if you guys are fingering each other going over 50 miles an hour in a snowstorm, all-wheel drive is kicked in.
I did not say that.
What was I going to say on a serious note about car sales? Oh, and I will say, selling point for anybody in Massachusetts that's interested in buying, you know, checking out a used car from Packy or buying a Subaru from Packy in Hyannis is the Cape, as far as car dealerships concerned, aren't the car salesmen are more honest and they're not trying to crack you over the head. I can guarantee you, if you go to a car dealership in and around Boston or the South Shore or the North Shore, they are trying to get you for as much money as humanly possible. Take that from somebody that sold cars on the South Shore. The Cape, they get a lot more elderly people because there's a lot of retirees in the Cape year round.
Of course.
So they're more customer service oriented. and focused on repeat business rather than cracking everybody over
exactly.
the head.
Exactly, because
I still got it.
You
dude.
Do, dude. You do. It's one of those things where, like you said, we're not looking for the fresh up. We're looking for the lady who's like, "Hi, Packy, I'm ready for my third Subaru, and I'll be back in 3 years to get another one." I go, "Okay, come on down." And it's like, "Hey, listen, we're going to give you this deal. This is the deal. Show all the numbers. It's not like you come to me and I give you numbers, then you go in the office and it changes."
What's your GM's name?
Brian Scarpellini.
So Brian Scarpellini, if we talk about Subaru and your dealership for another second, he's cutting me a check.
All right, cool.
He's cutting me a check.
Cool.
For sure.
And to top on that, you go to a dealership in the city, they're wearing suits, they're wearing all that. I wore this to work today. Black sneakers.
Scarpellini, get your checkbook out, buddy. Get your checkbook out. What was I going to say? I've told you the story about when I first started working at Subaru in Bowen.
No.
Where a guy came in, he was looking at a used Mercedes-Benz station wagon, really nice one.
Yeah.
And I think we had it online for like 35 grand or something like that. And we went on the test drive, and like my style on the test drive is I say nothing about the car. I just try to make you laugh and get you to like me and trust me.
The number one rule in this
I
business.
Get you, I get you comfortable, and I'm just, you know how, you know more about the car than me. You're here to specifically see that car. You saw it online. You want this car. There's a reason why you're here. The guy was an old, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's been on the earth a lot longer than me. I'm not going to try to tell him about the car. Just going to shoot the shit. Get him to laugh, you know what I mean? Share some personal information about myself. So we get down. It's time for negotiating. And, you know, you go to the sales desk. They write the fucking number out. And, you know, the guy's a cash customer, so we're not confusing him with term and monthly payment and with this much down. He's not trading anything in. So the only thing we have to go off of is that rock bottom number. And so that's one of the tougher things to negotiate with it for a car salesman, because you don't have anything else to kind of subtract and add and confuse them with. So I just come out with the $35,000, like, price as it is online, and the guy looks at it and he goes, "Yeah, but that's what you guys have it online for." And I was like, "Well, in today's day and age with the internet, we have to price our cars like accurately online. It's not like the days of old, because if I don't have my cars priced right online, you can see where this car is selling in a 700 mile radius, and you'll just go to the one that has it cheaper. Why would you ever come in and see us? So you came here for a reason, because you know it's a fair deal.
You still got it,
right?
You still got it."
And so he looks at it, and he goes, "All right, well, I like the car. You know, let me go home and talk to my wife, and I'll see what she says, and we'll be in touch." So that is not an objection.
It's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. Yeah.
And so I this is what I say to him, and I'll never forget this. I say to him, I go, "Sir, the car business is a today business, okay? What do I have to do to earn your business today? Instead of going home and asking your wife if you can buy this car, why don't you go home and tell her you already bought one?" Challenge his whole manhood, dude. And he crossed his arms and he took a deep breath and he was just looking at the number. And now I'm not saying anything. I gave my pitch. I'm not talking first.
First one to talk loses.
And he points at the paper and he goes, "If you can take $1,000 off, you got a deal." And I go, "All right, sir, I'm just a small fish in a big pond. I can't make decisions like that. Let me hop up over to the sales desk. I can ask my sales manager. No promises. Don't get too excited. Can I just have your debit card, credit card? I'm not going to run it. I might buy a couple pizzas for the guys. I'm just kidding. But I'm not going to run it. But it's just a visual to show my boss that if he does do this deal, you are serious to take the car home today. Am I correct in saying that? All right, shake hands. Boom. Go over. Sale. Done." Instead of going home and asking your wife if you can buy a car, why don't you go home and tell her you already bought one? I'll never forget that, dude.
So good.
Yeah.
The worst ever is like when people come in with young kids come in with their dads.
They try car lawyers.
Oh.
Car lawyers.
It's the worst.
Oh, I've gotten in when I sold cars in the South Shore, I've gotten into full blown arguments. I worked at a dealership where I'm not gonna say the name of the dealership, but they would send out mailers, right, around Thanksgiving. Oh. Right? So they would do this, they would send this mailer out around Thanksgiving, and in the mailer it would say, "All you have to do is come into the dealership. You don't have to buy a car, you don't even have to look at a car. All you have to do is come in and we'll give you a turkey. So not a live turkey, but like a turkey to cook for Thanksgiving, right? And I'm not going to say the name of the dealership, but when I tell you we did not have one fucking turkey to give away, okay? And so guy comes in, right? And it's like that dealership was popping. So like 18 salespeople on the floor.
Crazy.
All hovering by the door, you know.
Hungry.
Some of the salesmen would hide in cars up front. And then when the customer gets out of their car, they just pop out of a used car. How you doing, sir? Welcome to pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. And so I get this guy coming in. And a lot of the veteran salespeople would eye people up and be like, all right, I'm going to the bathroom. I can see this guy come. Fuck this. I'm not taking this guy.
Judge
right?
a book by its cover.
And when you're the new guy, you just take the scrap. You'll take anything that comes through that door. Guy comes in with the mailer in his hand. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And he comes right up to me, almost already with an attitude. And I'm... like
new fish, fresh fish.
Yeah, yeah. And he's pointing at the turkey on the ad. And he's like, I want my turkey. I'm here for my turkey. And I'm like, okay, sir, so why don't we have a seat? No, I don't have to sit down. Go get the turkey. And I was like, all right, well, are you here to buy a new car, used car? Like, what kind of car are you in the market for? The ad says, I don't have to buy a car. I don't have to do anything. You guys are giving out turkeys. I'm just here for the turkey. I don't want to talk about cars. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, and I try again to kind of steer it. And he's like, nope, give me my fucking turkey, right? And I had this one sales manager that was an absolute hothead. He was fucking wild. He was from the old school.
Car guys.
Yeah, he would wear like pink suits and shit. He was good, dude.
Yeah.
But like because of his style, sometimes he would just immediately turn people off.
Yep.
You know? And so... you know, I was kind of nervous because he would flip out on employees. Like, I had him on my good side, but, like, I wasn't, you know, immune to him chewing me out, right? Yeah. So I go up to the sales desk kind of like, oh, fuck. It's kind of like you're going up there with your tail tucked in between your legs because, like, you're not getting anywhere with the customer and you need dad to come in and help, you know?
Yes.
So I go up to him and I'm like, Derek, this guy came in with the mail, and he just wants a fucking turkey, dude. I've tried this. I tried that. He just keeps going. He goes, oh, where is he? I'll go talk to him right now. Okay, nope. We're not fucking doing this today. Nope. He storms out, and he goes, hey, sir, how you doing? What can I help you with? You here to buy new used? And he goes, that's the same thing with Derek. And he goes, oh, well, actually, nope. Not today. Not doing the turkey. Sorry, we don't have him today. You can leave. And the guy's like, I fucking knew it. Fuck you guys. And Derek's like, listen. Don't swear, blah, 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 blah. They sat arguing with each other in the showroom, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. Then it's all glass, the front of the dealership. Even, like, when you pass the sales desk, it's all glass right there. So if you're at the sales desk and we don't have the shades down, you can see the customers walking back to their car from, you know, behind the glass.
Uh-huh.
And the customer that came in, middle finger up the whole walk. Dude, I was dying. It was so funny.
You have a lot of great stories from that dealership.
Oh, it's a wild, wild west. And this is when I was like partying kind of hard, for the lack of a better term, and really, you know, getting after it.
My favorite story I think you told is the one with the basketball hoop in the showroom.
Oh, when me and the kid in the Marines almost went toe-to-toe, dude, because I was talking shit. I was such a hothead, dude, where it was like even if I knew I was outmatched, it would not stop me from trying to like verbally assault somebody.
And the gong, right near. You remember you told me there was a gong every time you sold the car. You go gong
on the gong.
You said it was near someone who didn't like you, so every time you sold the car, you give him a look. Gong.
No, the best. There was this one kid that worked there that he was a former Marine. And a tough prick.
Yeah.
But I fucking didn't like him for some reason. Very appreciative that he served the country. But it's like, you know, I'm sure people that serve in the military come in all shapes and sizes. You know what I mean? There's going to be some that you don't like. And we just didn't get along. And he was like one of those, you know, I would never use the term today, but back in my youth, I was a little bit more, you know, hot-headed and, you know. He was... I want to say this in the most politically correct way. So he was an African-American man that if you, he was behind a curtain and you interviewed him, you'd have no idea that he was an African-American man. Like he showed no, even though color doesn't represent, but in most cases, like,
I know what you mean.
He didn't act black. in any way, shape, or form.
That's what you're trying to say.
Right? And I was trying to say it in the politically correct way, which there is no such thing. I know now there is no such thing as acting black. You know what I mean? But like,
he just he speaks well, stuff like that. I know what you're trying to say.
Right. Now I know.
Yes.
Now I'm more educated and I'm not a fucking
12 years
old. Not even that. I'm just like a grown up. Yes. I was like an idiot, wild kid, basically trapped in a man's body. And we had a freaking, for March Madness, we had a freaking basketball hoop in the showroom. And of course, at the end of the day, like when we're about to close, like this dealership was so crazy. Like towards the end of closing time, we'd walk around with like red Solo cups and be drinking beer like on the sales floor. It was wild, dude. Like, you know, finance managers doing cocaine. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was partaking in a lot of extracurricular activities.
I always say about the car business, there's a lot of people making a lot of money that have no business making that much money.
Oh, they'll hire felons and drug dealers. And they'll hire anybody. Money. Yeah.
But continue.
And so that, you know, and I love basketball. Yeah. I'm pretty decent. Yes. You know what I mean? I'm not like unbelievable, but like I'm better than your average basketball player. And if I'm going against somebody that is not even an average basketball player, I'll look like fucking Michael Jordan. Yes. You know what I mean? So we start playing one-on-one in the showroom and, you know, you could just, he's dribbling the ball and I'm like, you can't even play basketball, dude. You know what I mean?
No hand-eye. No hand-eye.
And I'm like, you're not even athletic, bro. Yeah, real. You know what I mean? And I ended up like really embarrassing him on the basketball court. Like I dribbled through his legs or something like that. And I was talking so much shit to him. And I said some things to him that I regret. And we got into a big altercation on the showroom floor, dude. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, I think we were fine. We were fine after that. Just for the record, I wasn't like, when I say I was saying some things that got under skin,
smack.
I wasn't being racist.
No,
like,
just talking
I don't
want
to get it twisted over here. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't have a freaking racist bone in my body, dude.
You're just talking smack.
Yeah. And things got kind of crazy. Now, the best is, now there's a lot of stories about my car sales days, especially at that dealership that I'll save for the Patreon.
Yeah.
Because they're a little X-rated and kind of crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of fond memories there.
It's just, you come into business and people go, oh, just another car salesman. It's like, dude.
Well, because for years and years and years, car salesmen had the, you know, screwed people over and right. So there's no trust there. But what people need to understand is the internet destroyed the ability for people to do that. Unless you're a complete numbhead.
Yes.
They'll crack you over the head. Yeah. But really, if you're at least of average intelligence, you can go online and figure out what you should be paying for a car and look up rebates and taxes and, you know, based on your credit score, what rate you should be getting from the banks and XYZ.
It's not what it used to be.
Right.
70s, 80s, no internet. People comes out. Yeah, I don't want to do that for the deal. You didn't do enough for my trade. Give my keys. I want to take my trade up. We lost. We can't find your keys.
Right.
Your keys are missing.
Right.
We gave them back to you. No, you didn't. Well, your car's stuck here. Better go get the spare. If you don't have one, I don't know what to tell you. Like, slimy stuff like that.
All right, everybody. That does it for episode 12, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. If you've been listening for a long time now, I appreciate everybody's support and encouragement. I get a lot of messages that people are digging the pod, and I appreciate it. And I'm excited to see what this sort of transforms into as we keep going down the road. I got a couple of, you know, exciting guests lined up. I don't want to say who. I don't want to jinx myself, but I am really excited about them. So until next time, thanks for stopping by.
Tell your sisters, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, everyone.
Oh, God.
All right. To give it a listen. Thank y'all. Appreciate it.